Hey cuties, this is Deidre C.
Hey cuties, it's J. Nicole.
And welcome to the Queen Team Podcast.
A place to cultivate your queendom.
Hey, this weekend was pretty full and quite amazing.
It was. It was very amazing, and I'm just honored that I was able to be a part of the Black Breastfeeding event for the IE Birth Workers of Color Coalition, or Collective.
Yep. It's a very long name, and I never get it right. That was exactly what it was. The Inland Empire Birth Workers Collective of Color. I think that's right. We'll link them in the show notes.
I think it's Color Collective. Birth Workers of Color Collective.
Workers Collective. Anyway, regardless, it was a sweet little event. I loved how they wanted to bring, they called it the Breastfeeding Connection. Yes. And I was so honored to be a part of it. I'm so honored to serve with these women in general and be a part of the collective myself. But just seeing all the women come together, women that I have seen in various other areas in the community, baby wearing over here, like a La Leche League over there. I saw a client of mine, other colleagues that I just haven't seen in a really long time, just all coming together to celebrate that breastfeeding connection. It was awesome.
Awesome.
Yes.
And you served as a panelist, and I want to say that you were amazing. Like, girl, I don't think you really realize, like, how dope you are how much knowledge and confidence that you exude because of all of your experience and your passion. Like, you're off the freaking chain.
Well, thank you. I truly appreciate that. It makes me, I'm blushing a little bit.
Like, this is not even because, you know, you're my person. It's because it's just the truth. Like, I'm watching you and I've watched you speak before about these subjects, about being a doula and breastfeeding and motherhood. And it's just like, as soon as you start talking about it, just this different, amazing, like, punk rock bomb side comes out and you're just like, yeah,
that's my advocate side.
But it's like, so you're still so like soft-spoken and like cool about it, and you're like, well, see, the thing is that, you know, and see the thing, and and so see the thing is that you're awesome. And so I just am so excited to see you stepping into that side of yourself. You know, you have the Center Doula program now, helping other doulas be their best. And I don't know, I'm just glad to be in your life. And like, I'm on Team Deidre.
Dude, but can I tell you, I loved seeing you step up and decorate your sweet booth. Love to be you was being represented at the Breastfeeding Connection, and your coordinated booth, all of your materials, it looked very professional. It was very alluring. It felt like it drew people in. And when I got there a little later than you did, but I loved how, when I walked in, I saw people just kind of hovering around your booth, getting information. You were in deep conversation, making those connections and networking. Very, very, very proud of you, J. Nicole.
Thank you. That was my first event, and I was a vendor, and it was just, I was stressed out about it. But then once I got there and I got my booth set up, and I was like, dang, like, my booth look good.
If you want to see a picture of her booth, go check her out on Instagram at LoveToBeYou. You can see what she was doing and a few other pictures from the event. It was lovely. And we'll put a link to the IE Birth Workers of Color Collective. So we're super excited. If you tuned in for our last episode on Black Breastfeeding Week, why we need it, and speaking with Devonna Roberts, an IBCLC, our lactation consultant, who is in our area. It was very lovely chatting with her. And, you know, even that episode connected us with a couple moms that weren't even on our radar before, and people here in our community, to make our community a little bit bigger.
Right.
Yes. Awesome. And so right now we are still in the midst of it. It ends on the 31st of August every year. It's from August 25 to August 31. And so there's a couple other celebrations going on. Just check them out. We will link to one that's going to be happening in our area on the 31st of August, yes, on Friday in Riverside, California. Devonna is part of organizing that. And if you want more information, we also want to plug Devonna one more time. She's having a meeting on Saturday the 1st in San Bernardino. We'll also put a link in the show notes to that as well. On Sundays, I run a breastfeeding support group. And this year, we wanted to do a little bit of something for Black breastfeeding. The group that we serve is of majority culture, but wanted to bring awareness to those moms as well, to how they can support people in a community. And really, when it boils down to it, we talk about the disparities, we talk about the inequities when it comes to birth in our culture today. But the real answer is when we focus on improving birth services for one minority or one particular ethnic group, we're really improving services for everybody. We are trying to help everybody to feel more welcomed, help everybody feel more accepted, help everybody feel like they have a space and a voice at this table and that they are loved and accepted, essentially.
Yeah.
And so we spoke about that and about some of the disparities and how we really need to do our best to reach out, to be more inclusive, to be more encouraging, whether it's inviting people to group or just giving them a, yes, you're doing it, mama. We got you. We're so excited for you. Keep doing that. So that is kind of what we talked about after we talked about all the breastfeeding issues, because I was very surprised with 3 brand new babies there, all less than just a couple weeks old. So, you know, the group is really to focus on supporting these moms if they're having issues. And the majority of the group was spent doing that. So we didn't do tons of celebrating, but I mean, just being present, holding a space for women to be listened to be heard, and to be understood. That is always my goal. That is always my goal. Yeah.
You know, I really liked what Devonna said last week when she said, you matter.
Yes. Yes.
And that just really like resonated with me, because that lets me know that each individual woman's experience, it matters so much to her. It's her life and death. It's her breath.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see another woman and say, like, what you're doing matters. How you feel matters. What you're going through matters. Your experiences matter. Your opinion. All of that. And I really am taking what she said under my wing and incorporating it into what I do, and sharing that's a great avenue to encourage women, to let them know you matter. Hey, I might not be able to understand everything you're going through or even help you. I may be able to just sit with you and just say you matter.
That's right. Yeah. And that's important when we can
and powerful.
Yeah, it is empowerment. And when we can help people understand that they matter, then they will go out and make sure that others know that they matter as well.
Right, exactly.
So it's like it's a passing it on kind of a mentality, or paying it forward kind of mentality. So I truly believe that it's very, very important work that we're doing. But it's Black Breastfeeding Week. You're a mom.
Yes.
You happen to be Black. Can you tell us a little bit about your breastfeeding journey? What was that like?
Yes, for you? I am Black and I am a mom.
I mean, and you did breastfeed a little bit. Yes.
Yes, I did. I breastfeeded a lot of it with my daughter. She was full term. I think she was born 39 or maybe 40 weeks. She was just maybe a few days earlier than her, and I'm putting quotation marks, due date. And when I got home, I had issues right away, even from the hospital, because I have flat or inverted nipples, and I haven't had it diagnosed, but just from what I know about breastfeeding, I'm pretty sure my nipples are just flat. They just don't get perky. And so when the nipple goes in the baby's mouth to stimulate the roof of the mouth, it's just like, I don't know what, there's nothing here. And so I ended up going to see a lactation consultant, maybe a week after she was born, and she really helped me, get the baby to latch. And after that, I was pretty much okay. And I fed her for about a year.
Awesome. Awesome. I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, it was for about a
That's
year.
Awesome.
And, uh-huh. You know, with my son, he was early. He was born at 37 weeks and he was small. He was only 5 pounds. And so he had a little mouth. I have large breasts and we had some of the same issues, except I had a C-section and my situation had changed where I didn't really have as much support. I didn't go see a lactation consultant. I never got him to latch. So I ended up pumping exclusively, and then my milk dried up after about 5 months.
But wait, can we just stop for a minute?
Okay.
That is amazing. That is also something new I learned about you last week when we were talking with Devonna. pumping exclusively is a heck of a lot more work than just whipping out your boob.
Yeah.
Okay? That's huge. That is huge. So well done. And kudos to you. And kudos to all the moms out there who are exclusively pumping for their babies, because that is not an easy feat to be connected to a machine pretty much all day long. That is huge. Yeah. That is, I feel like you need like extra stars in your crown. That's all.
You know what? Like, I didn't realize until just now when you said it that how much work it was and how hard I worked to make sure that he had my milk. Okay, I'm gonna take a breath. I just wanted my son to have the best, and I've been beating myself up for years because I'm like, I could have done more to get him to latch. I could have, you know, pumped for longer, and I let people convince me to stop pumping, and I wish that I hadn't. But I'm learning to look at the glass half full, and I did so good for him considering where I was. I was like golden, you know what I mean? And I'm really proud of myself and happy that I pushed and did what I did do. And something that I've learned from both of those experiences is that education is number one.
Yes.
Knowing what you're dealing with and then going and asking for help, being your own advocate. And so that's what I learned from that experience. And so that's why I'm so passionate, or part of the reason why I'm so passionate, because I was passionate about breastfeeding before I even had kids. I remember when I was taking some prereqs when I first started college, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I remember writing a 8-page paper on breastfeeding and the benefits of breastfeeding.
Oh, wow.
And I don't remember why I was so passionate about it back then. I just always was. And that was a huge paper that I wrote, and I'm just glad that I have stuck with it all of these years. And I really want to push and express to mamas, get educated, get around some other mamas who are doing what you're doing, who can set that example, who can kind of shed some light on what you need to know, because you can't advocate and fight for what you don't know you should be fighting for.
That's right. I mean, and it's really, I mean, even to put it into perspective, when a mom has a baby, even if she knows in her mind, she is still in a very, very vulnerable space. I always tell moms in my classes, you know, day 2 or 3 of life of the baby, your eyes are leaking, your boobs are leaking, your vagina's leaking. It feels like your insides have literally come out and you are just open and hollow and you're just so much in your feelings. And so how it's, this is why I totally advocate that that families need so much support, especially in this beginning stage where there is so much vulnerability. There's moms just like, even if you know what to do in your mind, it's hard to act and advocate and work because you feel so open, so raw, and so vulnerable. Right. And so support, having support around you, hello, because they can stand up and fill the gap where you can't for yourself.
And so I agree with you, Deidre, having that support system, but that's still advocacy for yourself, because before you have the baby, or exactly, it's like, I'm going to make sure that, hey, I know that I'm not going to know everything, and I'm going to need more than I can give to myself. So let me have these people in place. Let me have this group in place. Let me have these moms who have gone before me, who can talk me off the ledge when I feel crazy, who can come to my house and help me.
That's right.
Because, you know, me as a postpartum doula, my job is to come to the house and fill in the gaps that you would not be able to do, because your only job is to feed yourself and feed that baby and take care of yourself. So I'm filling in those gaps, but I can't stay there with you, you know, for the next year. I can't do that. So it's like, you've got to have that support system who's there filling in the gaps for you. And so I agree. Support is really important. Yes. So education, advocacy, and support. I mean, we can just keep banging that over and over. That's what will make successful breastfeeding. And that's what makes successful. Well, I don't want to say that's what makes successful mothers. I feel like if you're a mother, you're successful.
Dude, having a baby makes you a warrior, the end.
Yeah.
There is no specific recipe. If you make it through to the other side and you survive, the end. Warriors, like if we think about traditional warriors who went off to war and fought, They fell down off their horses. They were broken and bleeding. The thing that made them warriors is that they came back home to tell the story in the end.
Right.
I mean, they felt, they saw, they probably came very close to death, and then were able to come back and tell the story. And that is what happens to our mothers. They come very close. And now that, and when I say death, it's not like a literal death. You prove who you truly are to yourself because of the intensity of the situation. Right. The physical intensity, the emotional intensity, the mental intensity, all of that pushes you to your limits. And then you show up and then you return with this amazing baby and you're like, whoa, I did this. It doesn't feel, even though you feel like, you know, at the end of the race, you might have fallen on your face. You're still a warrior. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Nobody actually lands as light as a cat at the end of this process. It is a rite of passage, this whole childbearing year. And it's meant to help you learn a new part of who you truly are.
Right. So, Deidre, I really love that. And I agree. Like, you're a warrior if you are a mom. And you are a badass if you are a mom. No matter what the circumstances, how the baby got here. If you had a surrogate. If you had a C-section. Vaginal delivery. If you have a baby and children that you're taking care of. You are awesome. And so tell us about your awesome experience as a Black woman breastfeeding.
My goodness. Even though I was a doula the first time I had a baby, it was when I was pregnant. I'm like, I know not very much about pregnancy. I know not very much about babies. And I kind of just did it. I whipped my boob out. And the thing is, I did have, because of my experience, I did have a lot of education. And I had a lot of knowledge and I had done a lot of advocacy for myself. And so the choice that I had made, I made with my first baby was to have a home birth. At the time that I got pregnant, I had been to roughly, I don't know, 40 or 50 births. I'm like, I know what I don't want.
Wow.
I know I don't want to be asked the date of my last period when I'm having a contraction. I know I don't want to have to ask for permission to go to the bathroom. I know I don't want to get in the bed when somebody wants me to do something or wants to give me a vaginal exam that I don't want. So people are like, you're so brave to have your baby at home. I think people are brave to have a baby, period. Right. because what I chose to do was hire a midwife and, of course, have doulas present. And then I had a partner who's there as well. And so... No, I just had a baby and then I started breastfeeding and that was that. Ta-da! It's not always that easy. I had to figure it out and I got sore nipples and it, like, I had the toe curls, which is like when they first latch on, you're like for like 30 seconds and then you can relax. And again, these are things that I just said, oh, well, it's just part of the process. My nipples did bleed. They got cracked and they were bleeding for a while. I had no idea. I just like powered through it because, well, this is just a thing. And then we can talk about all of the other things that were going on with me at that time for me to be like, yeah, whatever, just not a big deal.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, just so y'all know, if you're having pain, that much pain, or if you're having cracked nipples, they're bleeding, that's not normal. You need to seek a lactation consultant's help.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Thank you for that disclaimer. I mean, I was also suffering from a little postpartum depression, so I'm just like, meh. Whatever. I was at the apathetic spirit. Mm. So as long as this baby's getting fed, she's thriving. Like at 2.5 months, I thought she wanted to move out of the house because she seemed so independent. You know, I'm like, okay, this baby's got it. I'm glad she came with her own. She knows what she's doing because I'm not sure what I'm doing. It was fine. I mean, it was because I think mostly because I've suffered the postpartum depression and I didn't even know I was suffering from it at the time. Everything was okay. I couldn't have told you anything. I do remember there being some pain. And then I had another baby. And the second time round, I was a little bit more aware. I had a labor support person who was just, I mean, she was my best friend who happened to be a doula. And this is the first adult outside of my family that really made me feel loved as a person. And really, I felt loved and accepted. And I'm like, what? Again, I had the initial like, oh, you know, the toe curls, which is, that's a little bit normal. But the my nipples weren't as sensitive, but I did experience engorgement. Mm. And I now experienced that before. And engorgement is when the breasts are so full that the milk won't even come out. it's just, they're just so full and so sensitive to touch, and it's hard to get the baby to latch on because the breasts are hard like rocks, but it's really hard to handle them. And I didn't know it. And 3 a.m, I called my labor support / best friend. And my partner was like, because I was complaining about all sorts of pain. I had gas pain. I didn't know at the time, but it was gas pain. And my boobs were hurting and all of these things. And I stressed out. He's like, maybe you should just go to the hospital and we'll give the baby formula. I'm like, no, that's not the right answer. But I don't know what the right answer is. So it's like, just call this person. So I called her. And 3 a.m, she came over to my house. And she tucked my partner and the baby into bed. She took me into the shower. She covered a stool with a garbage bag. And she proceeded to bathe me. And I'm like, what is this love that I've never felt in my life before? What is going on? But that, just having the warm water run helped me to help my breast to relax a little bit. I was able to express some milk. And the next morning, I called another doula who was a postpartum doula and lactation educator counselor. And she's like, oh, you know, do the laid back method. It should be fine. Don't worry. It shouldn't last more than 24 hours. You're normal. I'm like, okay. And I just calmed down.
What is the laid back method? Notches. I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you.
So the laid back method, I guess it's also called biological nursing. But a long, 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 long time ago, where birth was primarily happening outside of hospital, a midwife would probably birth the baby, get mama cleaned up, and then get her tucked into bed, propped up like at a less than a 45 degree angle, but kind of a little bit more upright, and put the baby right on the middle of her chest to have that great skin to skin. And so that at this angle, the babies have the ability to do this breast crawl. If their feet are able to be planted either in mom's hand or on her body, they can literally crawl to the breast. And when they're like kind of with their face down or in this prone position, their jaw is more relaxed. Their tongue is more able to kind of come down more. Like if you face your lap, listeners, take a moment, put your face down to your lap, relax your jaw, and notice what happens to your tongue. What happened to your tongue when
it
you
just
did it,
kind of flopped down, and I could have let it fall out of my mouth, but I held it in.
Exactly. But that's what happens to the babies. It will kind of flop down because of gravity, and that helps to draw the nipple in a little deeper into the mouth and help that baby get a deep and effective latch. In addition, like they could palpitate the breast as they're trying to get to the nipple. They're always doing this with their limited head control. They're kind of doing this nod on the breast where the nose and the lips start touching the nipple. And this can help the nipple to become firmer and a better base for the baby to latch on to. And so like there's so many benefits from biological nursing, or we call the laid back position. And this is really good if a mom is engorged, because then if she's engorged and once the milk starts flowing, the milk can kind of come out in a rush and the baby's like, And so like there's gravity to kind of slow that flow down so babies don't choke and they can choose to eat and breathe in a nice fashion. So I did all that. It was fine. And I nursed my daughter for about 19 months because she's just like, peace out, mom. I got this. I'm good. I nursed my son for about 26, 27 months, and eventually was fine, and he loved being in the breast. It was a comfort to him. And this time, with my last baby, I'm trying to remember, there's a lot of other things going on. Again, let's just say I was experiencing my rite of passage in a different way outside of breastfeeding. And so breastfeeding just kind of worked. And I don't think she ever lost weight in the beginning. She just kind of like, she was 8 pounds, a couple ounces, and then just kept on going and going. Every time the midwife would come to check her or check me and check her, she was gaining weight. So she never, ever decreased. And now she is almost 2 years and 9 months. I can't do the math in months, but she'll be 2 years and 9 months on Saturday. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Anyway, we're still breastfeeding, but I am tired. And we always tell people breastfeed until one party is no longer happy. And this mama is kind of getting tired. And so we are now limiting breastfeeding and we're working towards weaning. We're only nursing at nap time and at bedtime, for the most part. And even at bedtime, we're just doing nursing during the story time, not to sleep. And that time is still to sleep. But sometimes she tricks me and I'm just, maybe I'm having a conversation and she's like pulling on my shirt and I'm just like, oh, and I whip out the window, like, wait a minute, we're not supposed to be doing this.
I was with you a couple of weeks ago and saw her like going into your shirt, and then I'm used to you feeding her too, and I didn't realize, like, oh yeah, you're not supposed to be feeding Kyra. Get back out of there.
Right. Exactly. I'm just like, oh, oops. So it's just so natural for me to just whip my breast out now. And so I really believe this is going to be the end of my breastfeeding journey. So she's not quite ready. And I'm like, oh, my baby. So I don't know. Her birthday is in January. I'm not sure if we'll have a weaning party and I'll make that the end. I really haven't figured out an angle. I just thought we might just naturally fall off, but I'm not sure. This one is just not trying to give it up. And I'm also kind of like, again, I'm being as active as I can just by holding the bedtime and nap time boundaries. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I so it's celebrate going. Yeah. you, sis, because I think, you know, I do know your background story of some of the things that were going on when you were in those times. And you held firm to your desires and you didn't give up. And I know when we were having our breastfeeding celebration on Saturday, you know, you were saying don't give up on your worst day and you follow your own advice.
That's right.
And I just admire you for that. I see nursing a toddler is it's an aerobic workout. So the fact that you're able
oh
to do
gosh.
That and still have grace, because they feel like your body is theirs. They take. And there are
they
no
really
boundaries.
Do.
So just imagine somebody coming up to you. And I remember that's what made me uncomfortable with my oldest. She was starting to do that. And I was just like, whoa, like this isn't normal. And I wish I would have had some support for someone to tell me, yes, this is normal. Just, you know, keep going. And like, this is good for the baby. I felt like really violated by that. And so I'm just glad that you're able to understand, you know, the difference and know what that is and be able to support yourself and support your children through that time. It's awesome. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, friend. I truly appreciate it. You know, and I think that, you know, I tell people one of my passions is storytelling. And I love the art of storytelling. I love like a well-crafted story, whether it's in the written page or actually somebody's actually telling the story. And even if we're just sharing from our own experiences, I think it's so important to hear other people's stories because it can encourage us. It can motivate us. It can remind us we're not alone. And it can bring a new perspective that we may not have been aware of before. So tell us a little bit about what's happening in our Queen's Chambers today.
So today in the Queen's Chambers, we are going to hear some stories. Some of our wonderful listeners, Black women who are breastfeeding their babies, they're going to tell us their story and their experience. And we ask them a broad range of questions because we really want to get a full spectrum of what they've experienced from the time that their baby was born up until their journey now, the good, the bad, and the in-between. And so I can't wait to hear the stories in the Queen's Chambers. Join us.
I breastfed my three babies for 28 months each, and I'm proud of myself for doing that. Lisa, and I'm the mom of three small children. They're ages 4 and 2.5. My daughter is 4, and my 2.5-year-olds are my twin sons. Before I had children, my perception of breastfeeding was kind of lacking. I just didn't think about it very much, honestly. I didn't know anyone that had breastfed. I babysat a lot, and I knew lots of mothers, but no one that had breastfed, you know, beyond a few weeks or a few months. Certainly no one that breastfed in public, so I just didn't really see it. So if there were moms that were breastfeeding around me, I honestly didn't see it at all. So I didn't really have much of a perception and didn't think about it much. I knew that when I vaguely heard arguments about women breastfeeding in public, I thought, isn't that what they're supposed to do? Like, you just feed a baby, right? But I just really didn't think about it too much. I was kind of wrapped up in my own world until I found myself pregnant. And once I was pregnant, I, of course, began thinking about all the ways we would raise our kid. And I remember just thinking, well, of course, like, we're going to breastfeed, you know, like, because that's what is natural, I guess, is kind of what I had in my head. I had a great midwife and a doula who really encouraged me to read some books. And so they gave me a copy of The Womanly Art of Breastfeeding. I read a book called Sweet Sleep, which is really more about nursing and safe co-sleeping, just like how breastfeeding can really enhance the sleep. And I had a really positive perception of it. It's like once I was pregnant and started reading about it, I felt like I was encouraged to join the Black Women Do Breastfeed group. That really helped to just see that there were so many other Black women breastfeeding, because I didn't see it growing up in my family. I was adopted, so my mom didn't breastfeed. I have an aunt, I think, who did, but I was too young to remember. So it was really good to see that there were other Black women that were breastfeeding. My first birth did not go how I expected it to go. And so I had an unplanned cesarean due to some of the medicines that I was on during labor. And then after my C-section, I was really groggy and drowsy, and that made it hard for me to be alert enough to breastfeed. But I had really good support, and my husband and my doula worked together as a team to help my baby breastfeed, because I told my husband so many times, this is what I want, and I had been so clear about it. And I think because of my experience with birth, I was even more adamant that I was going to exclusively breastfeed my baby. But I definitely encountered some surprise. I think that was the thing that caught me off guard the most, was having a nurse come into the room and go, oh, you're breastfeeding, okay. And just being like so confused by, well, isn't that what you want me to do? You know, like, isn't that what you were gonna come and encourage me to do? But just always feeling that. I had to go back in for a follow-up visit, and just kind of that, like, oh, you're still breastfeeding? And I countered that more than once, you know, just over the course of my daughter's first year, just that surprise that I was still breastfeeding my baby at 6 weeks, 6 months, you know, 18 months, 2 years. And we continued to breastfeed until she was 2.5. And at that point, I was already breastfeeding my daughter's twin brothers. And so I breastfed my daughter all throughout my twin pregnancy, and then again continued for 9 months after that. So I breastfed all three babies for 9 months together. And it was a challenge, but I did have a lot of support. When I was pregnant with my twins, by then I knew more about breastfeeding and had kind of become a breastfeeding advocate, I feel, and really wanting to encourage moms to consider breastfeeding. And I knew that breastfeeding twins would be a challenge. I was right, and it was mostly a challenge just mentally. It was a lot of work, and I had to eat a lot to just keep up calories, but it was worth it, and it was very doable with the support that I had. By the time my twin sons were born, my sisters and my mom and my aunts and everyone had seen me breastfeeding for the last 2 years, because I was pretty open about it, and I just said, I'm gonna breastfeed my baby wherever I got a lot of comments about, oh, you're still breastfeeding that baby. Like, she's still nursing, you know, when she was older. Or, what is she going to do when her brothers come? And I was like, we're just going to take turns. It's going to be fine. And, but by the time they came, they understood. And I'm really thankful that my sisters who are younger than me and don't have kids yet, they have seen, you know, not just another Black woman. And I think since then they've probably seen more, but that they have kind of in their 20s gotten to see other Black women breastfeeding and experience someone extended breastfeeding, so breastfeeding past even 2 years old. And so I'm really thankful that I've gotten to do that, and they've been a support to me, and I feel like they are able to, they're going to have like a different experience because I was able to just stand up and say, yeah, I'm going to keep breastfeeding my babies. So I breastfed my sons until they were 2.5, which just recently occurred. So I breastfed them for 28 months and we just ended, and it has been very, very bittersweet. And just, it was a long journey, but I'm so thankful that they're healthy and they're strong little boys, and my daughter too. I think the most important part in my breastfeeding journey just has really been the support that I've gotten from my husband, from my doula. I joined a breastfeeding support group when my daughter was 6 weeks old, and I went almost every week for the first year of her life, and just had this group of women who we were able to kind of, our kids were all similar ages, and it was so great to be able to just go through the trials and challenges of that whole first year of breastfeeding with them. And I still talk to those women pretty regularly, and it was just a really big encouragement to me. So I love to tell moms to join a group. If you can join an in-person group, do it. If it needs to be an online group, do that. But find some other moms that are breastfeeding that will give you the support that you need so that you can breastfeed for as long as you choose to. One of my most triumphant moments in breastfeeding, I had a nurse tell me that while my boys were in the NICU, in the NICU, because they were 6 weeks early, that my boys weren't going to gain weight if I exclusively breastfed them. And I remember hitting like the 3-month mark with my boys and them just being like these chubby little babies who are gaining so much weight and doing great exclusively breastfed. And I just wanted to go back and be like, look, I did it. I don't know what you were thinking, but I don't know, or who you think you are to tell me that I can't breastfeed my boys, but take that. And of course I didn't go to the NICU and find the nurse, but I just remember feeling like, take that, I did it, I'm doing it. And to continue to do that and walk in that journey, and just to say to other moms, like, don't let anyone tell you that you can't. You can. And if you don't have support, I'm here to be your support. You know, the breastfeeding journey is, it can be so challenging, but it can be so worth it. You know, whether you breastfeed, you know, for however long you choose to, it is so great to just feel like I am sustaining this person. Not only did that I grew my body, but also, like, you know, kind of like it's my superpower. I just found that I'm a stronger person than I knew to be able to breastfeed all three of my kids. Breastfeeding for me was amazing. Not because the cost was low, but it really helped me to
bond with all three of my children, which I breastfed all of my kids till they were 14 to 16 months. My perception of breastfeeding before I even had children, I never even really thought about it until I met my friend, Roanna. She had a daughter before I had kids. We actually were pregnant with my first and her second at the same time. And she was breastfeeding her first child. And I was just like, oh, that is so cool, you know, and she kind of shared her experience with me. And then from then on, I was just like, I'm breastfeeding all of my kids. So she kind of opened the door to breastfeeding for me. So when I had my first son, that was, you know, all the prenatal education that I had gotten around breastfeeding. So when I got pregnant with my first son, you know, going to WIC appointments and things like that, the lactation consultant really, you know, dives deep into breastfeeding and how beneficial it is and how it helps your kids and, you know, health-wise and things like that. So I was really open to it. So after I had my son, my experience early on postpartum period was a little exhausting. I really had to think about my child and not think about myself, you know, and the health, you know, the benefit of the health situations with, you know, with my son and, you know, him later on becoming an asthmatic, you know, it just really helped him, you know, not get so sick as much. I was tired all the time, sleepy all the time, but what really kept me going was knowing that, you know, he was getting everything that he needed, you know, naturally. You know, I'm not against any formula or anything, but, you know, our bodies are made to produce milk for our kids. You know, why else would our breast leak milk and, you know, our child can get all the nutritions and things like that from us, you know, so it's there for a reason. So I'm a big advocate of that. Some of the challenges that I faced, I don't think I had any challenges with my first son, you know, besides not knowing that your boobs are going to crack and, you know, there's other medicines that you can put there, but, you know, the best medicine you can do is squeeze your nipple a little bit, let some of the milk come out. You know, make sure they stay moist, you know, and then everything will be fine. That only lasts for about 2 weeks. And that's pretty much with all of my kids. Just the whole stage of your breasts hurting, you know, they're healing because they're constantly being used. Milk's constantly coming out. Baby's constantly sucking. So I would say that was the only challenge. But just to cope with that, you know, just talk with the doctor, see what all I can do. By the time my second and my third child came, I was an expert, you know, I didn't need any consultant from any doctors or anything like that. So, you know, I just kind of went at my own pace, listened to my body, and I just went with the flow of how things were going to go for me. My triumph moments for my breastfeeding experience was, you know, a lot of people say, oh, just do it for 6 months, you know, and for me to do it beyond a year, I felt like that was great dedication that I chose to give to my children, putting my kids first. Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah, my boobs rock up from here, you know, time to time, but, you know, they're getting what they need. So that was my triumph moment, going over the time that everyone tries to put on you. Well, if you're going to breastfeed, then 6 months and then you don't have to do it anymore. No, do it as long as you need to do it. What powers or insights did I discover about myself? Willpower and dedication, the fight to go on and to do something when my body is tired mentally, physically, but to keep going and keep pushing, you know, and really dedicate myself to my kids, which was really, you know, something I discovered in myself. Knowing that there is a community of other women that go through and feel the same way I do. that's the best key. If you feel, you know, that you have problems or you want to just share your joy, you know, there's something that, you know, there's a whole community out there for you to tap into and discuss, you know, how you're feeling, good and bad. You know, you're not alone. And, you know, most of the time, a lot of women don't know the benefits, you know. So the benefits of breastfeeding, that's a huge key to breastfeeding, the bonding with your children, you know, holding them close. And, you know, you can talk to them, sing to them, read to them, you know, anything while they're that close to you. You know, they were in your belly for, you know, 9 to 10 months. To continue with that bond, you know, that helps, you know, their brains develop and everything. So, you know, those are huge keys for me. There's a huge community, you know, a lot of African American women are, you know, tapping more into breastfeeding and not letting, you know, a lot of family members shun them, you know, oh, just give them, you know, formula, or are they getting enough, or are they eating enough, or they're too skinny, or they're too big. Go with your gut. It's your child, your body. If you want to continue to have that bond with your child, you know, go with that. You know, go with your gut. Don't listen to anyone else. And if you need more education, you know, reach out. You know, I have 3 children, currently pregnant with my 4th, and I'm going to, you know, Lord willing, breastfeed this child as well. You know, that bond is amazing that you have with your kids. You know, I just say, just go for it. Go with your gut.
My perception of breastfeeding was basically that it's normal, that you're supposed to do it, that it's not just like the right thing to do, but it's the best thing to do for your baby. My mom breastfed all of my younger siblings as much as I can remember until like they either weaned themselves or just didn't want to nurse anymore. So it was just always my perception that, you know, like you're supposed to breastfeed. Formula or bottles kind of came in second. You know, honestly, I didn't really receive anything outside of my mom telling me that I needed to breastfeed my babies. She was just very like adamant and advocated that it was very important for me to breastfeed my babies. As far as learning how to do it, I guess that part of it didn't come into play until after I had them. And you know, with my first pregnancy, I had twins, and they were premature, and so I didn't get to do the breastfeeding or attempt to breastfeed with them right away, because at first they were being fed by the tube. In the beginning, I had to start pumping. So I would pump as frequently as I could and get as much milk as I could to try to give to them. But as they started to put on weight and got a little bigger, the nurses in the NICU were the ones that kind of tried to help guide and steer me in the direction as far as how to get them to latch properly. And like what to look for as far as like their sucking and all of that. So I didn't really get any education, or as much education, I should say, prior to having my babies. As far as challenges go, I have 4 children, and I can honestly say that with each one of them, there have been different challenges. I feel like with the twins, part of the challenge was that I didn't get to breastfeed with them right away. I do think that it had an effect on how much milk I produced. I also think that it had an effect on how long I was able to breastfeed, because I was only able to breastfeed them successfully for about 2.5, almost 3 months. I just felt like I was never able to really produce enough for them between the two of them. And I feel like in part that was because, number one, I felt like I didn't get to do the immediate bonding, but I mean, that's just my opinion. And I feel like that number two factor is the fact that I didn't really get to allow them to like latch on or really start, you know, trying to nurse until they were about 2 weeks old. So I think that that kind of played a role in how much I produced and my ability to kind of be able to exclusively nurse them. With my youngest son, he was like a natural as far as breastfeeding goes. Like,
oh my gosh, he latched on perfectly. But I felt like challenges in that experience is I kind of felt like, you know, sometimes it was difficult to meet his demand. Like, when he wanted to nurse, he wanted to nurse right away, or it was like an extreme tantrum and just screaming and crying. And I kind of felt like, you know, having to like be gracious and patient with myself during that process of learning like his demands and meeting his demands, that was challenging for me with him. And then with my last child, my daughter, I just feel like the first 2 weeks with breastfeeding for her was very painful. I actually ended up just keeping it to myself because I did not want anyone trying to discourage me from feeding or from breastfeeding her. I just kept saying to myself, like, she's going to get it. She's going to learn how to latch on right, and I'm going to be okay. But that was a very tough 2 weeks. I mean, sore nipples and just the whole nine. I'm not going to get into details, but yeah, it was pretty painful. I think the most important part to my journey of breastfeeding has been to just to trust your instincts, to trust your intuition. I feel like even though things were not going perfectly when I tried to breastfeed, you know, all of my babies, there was something like on the inside of me that just kept saying, like, I can do this and it's gonna work and I'm gonna be successful at it. The truth is no matter how long you're able to do it, how much you're able to do it, what amount you're producing while you're doing it, breastfeeding your baby is one of the best things that you can do for them. Even in weaning my children, I've noticed that breastfeeding holds so many different benefits for them, health-wise, emotionally. I just think that it's one of the best things that you can do for your babies. And so that would probably be, I would say, the key or the most important part of my journey is that I knew that I needed to just trust what I was thinking, what I was feeling internally, no matter what people thought or said or tried to discourage or, you know, I mean, even, you know, with my last baby, like I basically nursed her for almost 18 months, right before 18 months I weaned. But, you know, people were saying like, oh, that's long enough and this and that. But I just kind of feel like you will know when it's time. It will be obvious to you. And I just kind of feel like you won't feel guilty about it. You won't feel sad about it. I mean, okay, well, you know, overly sad about it. But just trust your inner voice and know that, you know, as a mom, like, it's instinctual. And, you know, you have to trust your gut and trust that your inner voice is gonna like lead you and steer you in the right direction.
Hi, new breastfeeding mommy. Welcome, welcome to the club. You have arrived. The one thing I would tell you is at least give it a try. You don't want to look back and say, I wish I could have, or I wish I had of, or if I had a just, nope, you tried it, the baby latched or they didn't. You produced milk or you didn't. Either way, you're still a powerful being, and there are other alternatives that you can do. If breastfeeding is not for you, don't beat yourself up. Don't feel guilty. Find support. I was pretty much locked into the idea of breastfeeding from a young girl. My mother had breastfed me, and I wanted to give that same gift to my children. So as an adult, it seemed like a no-brainer. I wanted to provide the best quality of food for my baby. And not to mention, hello, it's free. I had the privilege of attending Black infant health classes, and not only was breastfeeding strongly encouraged, but they also educated us on how to maintain our own bodies in preparation for breastfeeding, what foods to eat, how much water is necessary, even down to exercise to keep our own health up for ourselves and the baby. So I'm really grateful that I had that education. I really don't know what I would have done through my prenatal and postnatal experience without those classes. During postpartum, my biggest concern was whether or not I was producing enough milk. I told myself, if you could just stick it out for 2 months, get this latching process down, you will be in the breastfeeding game. And also, if your baby lasts 2 months, you might be on the right track. Let me tell you, sore and cracking nipples did not make it any better of a situation. However, I made it those 2 months, and then the 2 months after that, and again 2 months after that. So being able to chunk down my goal into a month here, 2 months here, maybe even a week here, really, really helped me be encouraged and strengthen my confidence in myself that I could accomplish the goal of just simply lasting 2 months to breastfeed my little baby. Some of the challenges that I faced in the beginning was being so stressed out. Is my baby going to be able to latch? Will I produce enough milk? Am I even in my right mind for trying to do this whole thing? And fortunately, my mother-in-law is a lactation consultant, and she was there every step of the way from day one, even before, just prepping me on what to expect. And she really helped guide and encourage me through the whole process. Even to this day, I can check in with her to make sure I'm still on the right track, and that's super encouraging. A triumphant moment for me was hearing stories of mothers who are unable to breastfeed for various reasons. I can only imagine what it's like to be in that position. And I began to show gratitude for my ability to breastfeed. You know, looking past the pain or the annoyance or the fatigue, whatever. I also am very appreciative to those moms who are being transparent and sharing why they switched to formula, or what setbacks they had, or why they chose to quote unquote quit early. Their stories were so encouraging, and I commend them for their strength in accepting their situation and understanding that they were still superheroes for the little ones in spite of whatever breastfeeding challenges they had. So thank you to those moms. I remember sitting in a waiting room, and my eyes were wandering around the room. I had a bit of anxiety about breastfeeding. It was kind of underlying and still fairly new to me, but the poster that my eyes laid upon was that of a woman, and she had her baby in tow with a cape tied around her neck, and the caption said, "I breastfed my baby. What have you done today?" And it made me really think, that is an awesome accomplishment for the day. I mean, what better way to check off something on your list? Something so powerful and so meaningful. And it kind of reminds you, you do a lot. It may not seem like it, but you are doing the most at this point for your kid. You want to feed them, you want to nourish them, even though, you know, you're consistently whipping out your breasts and having to have the life sucked out of them every few hours. It can be exhausting, but you do it in order for your baby to be well nourished and healthy. And that's kind of like the big picture that I see. I'll do anything in my power to provide the best quality of life for my kid that I can at this point. The most important key to breastfeeding for me is remembering the gift that I have to offer my children. It's such a special gift. At times it could be trifling. However, such a beautiful process that our bodies experience, even from prenatal, through postnatal, especially being a new mom, I look at how far I've come in my journey, and I've learned to acknowledge my progress. I look to those who have done it for years, those who have breastfed many kids over time and time again and are still breastfeeding multiple children. I can do this one. And what I can do is take whatever motivation I find from their successes and I'll kind of apply it to my situation and tell myself I can do this. I am doing this. I have done this. And also being around other moms who are doing the same thing helps me realize that my struggles are not just mine. When you have a group of women who are experiencing the same doubts, the same insecurities, and even the same prides about breastfeeding, it encourages me to just hang in there and remember to share my story, and which could help another superhero succeed. One thing I would share with other mothers just beginning their breastfeeding journey or even considering to breastfeed their children: find support, whether it be in a group with breastfeeding moms, whether it be in a group of moms who don't breastfeed, whatever support you're looking for, you can find it. And 9 times out of 10, it's right there in your local community. Reach out to support groups. Reach out to educational programs. There are so many resources out there that we don't even know available to us in our local community. I really appreciate Janisha and Deidre providing this platform for us as mothers to be able to help you and invite you into this beautiful process. I promise either way, you will find your strength. You will find what works for you. And the simple fact that you sought it out, that you reached out, can really help you make some decisions in the future, whether it be breastfeeding to the fullest term or to the smallest term. Either way, be encouraged. Again, congratulations and welcome to the club, my beautiful superhero.
Wow. Ladies, thank you so much for sharing those incredible stories of your experiences. Isn't it really interesting, Janisha, how even though these women really haven't lived life together, they kind of had a lot of the similar messages?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone kind of had the same type of story, like really hard in the beginning, didn't know if they could make it, didn't really see examples in their life of other women breastfeeding, but they followed their instincts, forged on anyway, found some dope support, and made it through.
Right.
I love that.
I mean, and yes, me too. And it is so important to find your tribe, to find that group that you can connect with to get what you need. I like to tell parents, you know, if we go on this heroic journey of labor and birth and becoming a parent, you have to find allies, or those allies will reveal themselves to you. And sometimes it's going to be in a place where you didn't even expect.
Absolutely.
So it's so incredible, yeah, that these women all found support, whether it was virtual support or tangible support, familial support, relying on the expertise of others. And we're seeing examples just randomly in their community. Just yes. Amazing. Such beautiful sharing.
I agree. And that echoes in my life and in other scenarios or other parts. As I began on this journey of finding my earth work, as I call it, I don't call what I do a career. I call it my earth work. I just started moving forward, didn't know who I was going to meet and how I was going to make it happen. But as I started moving forward, I started meeting so many amazing people. And now I have this huge community around me. I have all these resources around me and I have my tribe. And it's not for breastfeeding, but it's just for life and for motherhood and for my earth work. And so, you know, the takeaways in my mind are, it's going to be tough in the beginning, no matter what you're trying to do, whether it be breastfeeding, you know, becoming a parent for the first time, discovering your earth work, marriage, relationships, whatever it is, business, but keep forging through, keep taking steps every single day towards your goal. And then when you're walking your path, God will send your tribe along the way to support you. And even when you feel like there's no physical tribe, there's angels, there's ancestors, there's people that are going to be there for you.
I think doing anything for the first time, there's always a learning curve. It's not like we were born into this world knowing all the things that we know. It's not like the very first time we tied our shoe, we were able to do it. It's not like when we first started reading, we could read, you know, Charles Dickens and, you know, we could read the dictionary. There's always a learning curve. And I think we forget that as adults. There's sometimes this mentality like, ooh, we've arrived.
Right.
And we should know everything by now. But no, we're constantly learning. And I feel like I tell moms, the only time you're going to stop learning is pretty much when you're dead.
Yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely. So true.
There's always the capacity to learn something new, to move into this new understanding of yourself in these experiences, and then also find out how strong and incredible and powerful you really, truly are. So kudos to all the moms. We want to give a big thank you to the moms who shared their stories. So to Anissa Cornelius and Detrene Harris, thank you both for sharing and being those brave mamas of multiple babies.
And thank you so much, Cara Grigsby and Shalandra McKinney. I love you guys. I've known you guys for a long time, and it's great to be able to pull from your tribe, your resources to come on board and, you know, help us out on the podcast. Like, the tribe never stops. So love you guys.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We love you lots. Thank you, everybody. And we'll have, if you check out our Instagram, you'll see some of their pictures, some of them and their babies. Yeah. You can see these brave mamas on our social media. And you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Queen Teen Podcast. You can also find us on our website at thequeenteenpodcast.com. Listen to this episode and our last week's episode with Devonna Robertson. And you can hear any of our other previous episodes to this as well to catch up. You can also drop us a line if you want to share your breastfeeding story or anything else that you'd be interested in talking to us about or having us cover here on the show. You can send us a line at thequeenteenpodcast@gmail.com. And Jay Nicole, where can the world find you online?
Yes, you can find me on my website at lovetobeyou.com. And the love is spelled L-U-V. And the rest is TOBEYOU.com. I'm also on Instagram on that same handle. If you are looking for support, I have a mom group called Love Your Tribe on Facebook. We are meeting every other week in person. And then, of course, the online support. So join us for that. And Deidre, where can the people find you, the sinner doula?
Yeah, that's right. I am just beginning to launch and in the super beginning stages to launch my doula mentoring business called The Centered Doula. And just for now, you can find me at the.centered.doula on Instagram. Step on over and follow me. I am really in the beginning. And hopefully in the next week, you get to see my little face there as well. And so that is The Centered Doula. And on Instagram, it's the.centered.doula. We hope you cuties have a great rest of your week and happy breastfeeding week. See you later, cuties.
Bye, cuties.